Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us today from Flushing, Michigan, with a preaching entitled, I've Looked at Life from Both Sides Now.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. In praying with the readings for this Sunday, I found myself very drawn to the second one, which is unusual because I don't often preach on the epistles and even less on Hebrews. Indeed, before this week, I didn't know much about Hebrews at all. I didn't know that a number of scholars think that the author of the letter might have been Paul's colleague Priscilla. I didn't know that it was probably written before the fall of the Second Temple in 70 AD. And though I probably should have been able to guess from its name, I didn't know it was most likely addressed to early Jewish Christians, many of whom had begun to leave the early church, not due to persecution yet, but due to doubt. They were no longer sure Jesus was the Messiah that they had earlier confessed. We've now exhausted all I currently know about the book of Hebrews, so I suppose I should admit that I still don't know much. But these little tidbits of information were enough to pull me in because, well, I do know a lot about doubt and have tons of questions about what genuine faith looks like. And today's second reading offers one of Scripture's most quoted lines on this matter. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I imagine the author's intention here was to clarify matters, but honestly, the first 100 times I read it, it only left me more perplexed. Isn't faith what you draw on when your hopes are not realized and when you lack evidence? To make matters more confusing, the author then goes on to introduce a whole pen of Hebrew ancestors who did not live to see the promises made to them realized, but still had faith. And it turns out that there are challenges with the translation of that word realization, or hypostasis, into English. Perhaps it could be better understood that faith is realizing, as in waking up to, what we, as the people of God, hope for. In essence, the coming of God's reign. And every morning, you and I, just like the earliest Jewish Christians in Priscilla's time, have a choice to make. We can either trust the faith, the substance of that hope that has been passed on to us, that God is stronger than evil and death, that God has a plan of abundant life and light for us, that what we see now is not how it always will be, that the making of history is in hands bigger than only our own. Or we can let go of that hope. Because it's not always real clear which way the axis of the world is tilted. It's not real evident then or now that good is winning, that sin and death in some mysterious way have already been defeated. But each day we have a choice. Do we lean into that hope again, even when it's not realized in our time, or do we let it slip like sand through our fingers? I understand the reasons why people might not lean into that hope. Who wants to be Pollyannish rather than acknowledge the magnitude of the issues we face on planet Earth? being perceived as someone who can look cold, hard reality in the eye and not flinch is way more fashionable than saying aloud you still believe in something called the reign of God. But I also know how gloomy life is when I decide that the whole reign of God thing is just too fantastical to believe in. I know how purposeless it all feels. And I've seen the effects that letting go of hope has on people. In the words of that Joni Mitchell song that has once again gone viral in recent weeks, I've looked at life from both sides now. And while I don't understand life at all, I do know that the perspective we choose to adopt in looking at life bears different kinds of fruit. And here's where that pain of our Hebrew ancestors soars as one of the most beautiful tributes to the fruits of faith ever written. Our lectionary reading of the day zeroes in on just a couple of the verses about Abraham, but you really should open your Bible to Hebrews 11 and read the whole gorgeous thing. For this is only a taste of what the author of Hebrews reminds us. That by leaning into life, Abraham went out not knowing where he was to go. By leaning into life, Abraham spent the rest of his life dwelling in tents. By leaning into life, Abraham received the power to generate, though he was past the normal age. By leaning into life, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By leaning into life, Jacob, while dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By leaning into life, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after his birth because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the Pharaoh's edict. By leaning into life, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the Pharaoh's daughter. By leaning into life, Moses left Egypt not fearing the king's fury. By leaning into life, the Israelites crossed the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By leaning into life, Rahab received Israel's spies and peace. What more shall I say, the author of Hebrews says, after 32 verses of examples. I have not time to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets. It's clear she knows her preaching is running long, but it's also true that she doesn't need to say more. After 32 verses, she's made her point. Choosing to lean into life rather than out allows one to go forth boldly and courageously, even in the most difficult of situations. And though none of our ancestors in faith saw the world they hoped for, neither had they regrets. They had lived lives of adventure, rich in meaning, giving themselves over to a vision larger than what could be achieved in any one lifetime. They had discovered that it wasn't seeing the end that mattered to them, so much as that there was an end, a telos, a plan bigger than themselves. And so I leave you with the question of how you shall lean today. I know on one hand, that's a silly question. Here you are on a Sunday morning listening to a Dominican preaching. In so many ways, I know you've already fundamentally committed yourself to the life of faith. And yet I do think that every day is filled with constant small choices to lean in or out of hope. When reading the news, when considering a relationship that feels stuck beyond repair, when deciding whether to pursue an interesting possibility or let it pass, our lives are made up of a few big fundamental choices, but thousands upon thousands of tiny ones. And you too have likely looked at life from both sides now. This morning, recommit yourself to the side you want to look at life from, and consider how that might affect the way that you live this day.